Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
That's how I know. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, May 15th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond, wherever you may be on this Monday morning. It's always a joy and a privilege to be with you to start your week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And all I can tell you is I am still overflowing with a huge sense of gratitude. We made our goal of $3 million, and we did it in dramatic fashion with the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, no doubt, on the Mother's Day weekend. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Relevant Radio family. It was just another amazing Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Incredible, heroic support. Thank you for allowing us to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. We reached our goal of $3 million at exactly 5:01 p.m. on Friday evening, literally in the final minute of the pledge drive during the Drew Mariani show. It was actually during the commercial break, right as the show was ending, that we found out. And again, we did it with your help through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, no doubt. Here are the happy totals. $3,156,565 from 14,005 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family, with an average gift of $225. And again, every single one of you is so important, and you made a big difference in what we do. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah once again. I know you guys are also extremely grateful for yet another incredible pledge drive.
Absolutely. It keeps Relevant Radio going strong for three more months. Thank you so much for being the world's greatest listeners. What a finish. You couldn't have scripted it any better to come right down to the wire and then get there just like that and then end up over the weekend here over 3.1 million now. My goodness. Thank you so much. Very, very exciting, guys.
It really was. It was a tremendous Friday. The finish was exciting, but the start was also exciting, guys, right here on our very own show of Morning Air. All of our early bird Morning Air listeners really stepped up to the plate. We had a total of 669 gifts for over $124,000 during the hours of Morning Air, including a new 7 a.m. Morning Air record with 317 gifts for a new record, $58,585. We couldn't have done it without your incredible support. Just a fantastic, heroic show of support early on Friday morning. And again, a huge thank you to every one of you. We can't do it without you. And every single gift, whether it's small or large, makes such a difference and is bringing Christ to the world through our work here at Relevant Radio.
Now, John, I know you like sports analogies, so I know that you're up to saying, asking the listeners, hey, step up to the plate. Well, I mean, they did more than step up to the plate, because anyone can step to the plate, but they hit it out of the park time and time again, and man, right at that last second, I mean, only God, like you said, Glenn, only God could script something like that, and he does. He does it every single pledge drive. We don't know how. We don't know when, and I think as a listener of Relevant Radio and as someone who works here, I think it's a great testimony for all of us that, like, we don't know what God's going to do, when he's going to do it, but we know that he always does. So thank you to all of our donors, 14,000 of them, and thank you to all that pray for us every single day.
And counting. They're still trickling in. I got to tell you, when I say step up to the plate, I literally was behind home plate watching my son's Northridge Prep baseball game with an earpiece in my ear, listening, staying tuned there at the end to hear if we would cross the finish line at the end of the Drew Mariani show. And it wasn't until during the commercial break, Cale Clark actually announced it on the other side that we had crossed that number. The number for our Morning Air crew was equally impressive as well, and we are just so grateful. For whatever reason, if you missed our pledge party as Glenn likes to call it, if you were out of the country on vacation, you can still make a difference. You can still give hope by making a tax-deductible donation at 877-291-0123, or you can give online at relevantradio.com, or you can make your pledge through the Relevant Radio app. And folks, they've been coming in all weekend long, so even though the pledge drive is over, they are still trickling in. And again, thanks so much for your support. Glenn, there is a doggy in the news this morning.
Absolutely. A record for the oldest dog. I think 31 years this dog, a breed of a Portuguese dog, made it 31 years. And he eats human food. And also one of the keys, it's said to be a calm, peaceful environment in which he lives. And so maybe that's good for the dogs, too. How about at your house? Is there that we know there's people food. Is there that calm, peaceful environment, too, for your puppy there?
Blaze is calm, except when he sees other dogs. Then he's not calm. He gets so excited. He wants to just go out and play, and he starts doing his beagle bark. But I can tell you one thing that he has in common with Bobby, the purebred Rafeiro do Alentejo, a breed of Portuguese dog, the oldest dog in the world at 31 years. Blaze also loves human food. He'll eat anything. He'll even eat bananas. I mean, this dog loves anything that's on the table. So we have to be really careful with him. Otherwise, he would become a chunky beagle.
You have to get him on that little kibble diet. Keep him in the right size. Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it, you know, maintaining a healthy weight as it is for all of us. And yeah, it seems that Bobby, you know, he just knows to, he's learned through life, through his 31 years to not sweat the small stuff and just to snack on the meat and fish when available to keep a nice, healthy diet. So, hey, we can learn from him. I like this.
So we know that he eats human food, but we don't know whether he's also been a beggar. Does he beg at the side of the table for human food? We just don't know that.
I have humans that are begging for human food at my house, so there's not any room for any animals to sneak in. There won't be any food left.
Do you make them roll over and do tricks, too, to get something?
You know, they'd probably do that on their own. But, yeah, the baby, she's getting good at, like, learning from the example of others. Hey, you got to sneak in there and steal that food that's left over. Oh, buddy, get off the floor already.
You never underestimate the power of a doggy biscuit to get a dog to do a trick. Mine, I just say, let me see your paw. And he lifts up the paw and he gets his little treat. So
go. There you go.
It's so much fun. Always fun to bring in dog stories here to the show. Thanks, guys, as always. We begin every hour, as we always do here on Morning Air, with a deep sense of gratitude, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. And again, a big thank you for just an incredible show of support last Friday and all of last week during our pledge drive. And, of course, on Mondays, we traditionally pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and loved ones. We pray for our family and friends who need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit here momentarily. Every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. And if you want to send us an email, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program here this morning, 888-914-9149. As promised, we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit as we approach Pentecost Sunday with less than 2 weeks to go. There's so much that we can say about the Holy Spirit, but I always have wondered, why is it that so many Catholics, don't have a real devotion to the Holy Spirit? Perhaps we know him less than we know about God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last time we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we'll also try to get to know the third person of the Holy Spirit just a little bit better. Joining us live for more on the fruits of the Holy Spirit and much more on the Holy Spirit is our spiritual director, Father Burkmaster, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and a longtime contributor to Morning Air as well. Good morning, Father Burke. Happy Easter. Thanks again for being with us.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you. And, you know, as you say, we've got Pentecost coming up in less than 2 weeks now. And the church is pointing us toward the Holy Spirit because, we need a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us as individuals on the church. And so from yesterday through Pentecost, we're going to be hearing a lot about the Holy Spirit in the readings at Mass.
Father Burke, can you real briefly remind us about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit before we get a little bit more into the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
Sure. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And so these gifts, we believe, are infused into our hearts when we're baptized. And of course, we then need to respond to God's grace to kind of stir up those gifts within us. One of the analogies I always use with our confirmandi is chocolate milk. And I love chocolate milk, and I love to pour the Hershey syrup into the white milk. And, you know, when you pour the syrup into the milk, it just kind of sinks to the bottom and sits there. It's there, but it's dormant. And when you put the spoon in and stir it up, then the chocolate and the milk get integrated and it becomes chocolate milk. And I liken confirmation to that, where in baptism we receive the Holy Spirit, the very life of God is within us. But if we don't respond to God's graces throughout our lives, the Holy Spirit can kind of be sitting there dormant. And confirmation and the sacraments and prayer and all of these, you know, methods that the church gives us is meant to be like that spoon to stir up that Holy Spirit within us to be integrated into every part of our lives. Not just, you know, that 1 hour at church, but my finances, my relationships, my work, my family life. The Holy Spirit should be, you know, involved in informing every decision that we make throughout the day.
Now, Father Burke, we started to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit last week, but because of the pledge drive, the segments were shorter, we didn't get a chance to finish. Can we continue discussing the fruits of the Holy Spirit?
Sure. So these are based on Galatians chapter 5, and the fruits are charity or love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Now, when you listen to those, we all want those fruits, right? We all want these fruits to be manifested in our lives. And so the question is, you know, how do we get those? And again, the church has given us these great gifts of the scripture, prayer, the sacraments. When we're abiding in the Holy Spirit, when we're living in God's grace, these fruits start to become evident. And they're also used, especially love, joy, and peace. I look for those as a spiritual director when somebody's discerning a big decision in their lives. Look for the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and there you're going to find, oh, the Holy Spirit's working in your life right here. You know, follow this path.
Well, Father Burke, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is proof that we really are tapped into the Holy Spirit. If we're really asking the Holy Spirit to help us. We're going to see these fruits. We're going to see chastity and modesty and joy. In fact, I've heard it say that the joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us.
Amen. Yeah, so look for these in your life. You know, they say the greatest litmus test for if I'm growing in my spiritual life, you're going to find love, especially, but you're going to see evidence of all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit. I believe it was St. Irenaeus who said, there's no neutral in the spiritual life. Either we're moving towards God or we're moving away from God. And the evidence of moving towards God are these fruits of the Holy Spirit. So like you say, am I living, you know, a chaste and modest life? Am I showing generosity and gentleness and goodness and kindness and patience? But most of all, love, joy, and peace. I think it was Mother Teresa who said that, you know, she said, the surest sign of the Holy Spirit is joy. And, you know, we can't be sad Christians walking around. And I think that's one of the ways the evil one is trying to work on us right now is to focus on all the negativity in the world. And I see this and I hear it constantly in people's lives where they're angry, they're frustrated, and it's okay. You know, there's a justified anger against injustice, but if we're focusing on these negative things and taking our eyes off the Lord, off Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're going to find the joy being sapped from our lives. And, you know, we're going to be finding ourselves kind of going down different rabbit holes. So just want to encourage us, keep our eyes on the Lord. The Lord has won the victory, and he wants to manifest these fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Father Burke, why do you think that so many Catholics don't have a intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit? They're not even really familiar with the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I think there's probably different reasons for that. You know, we hear a lot about the Holy Spirit when we're preparing for confirmation. For most people, it's at a young age. And then I think we stop hearing about the Holy Spirit or you know, focusing on the third person of the Trinity. We can picture Jesus. You know, right now we have, you know, the Chosen series out there, and there's different images of Jesus. And so most people are probably most comfortable talking to and praying to Jesus. But because the Holy Spirit is maybe much more difficult to comprehend than even God the Father sometimes, even though we have an image of what, you know, our own fathers might look like. So I think that's why the Holy Spirit is often neglected, because we just don't really know, you know, it's hard to imagine or picture what the Holy Spirit might look like to us. Even though in our baptism, you know, that third person of the Trinity, the divine life is living within us. It's hard to imagine that. Like, that's an amazing thing to contemplate, that God is within me.
And yet, we see that there is that relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Can you share with us a little bit about why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us?
Yeah, so to put in the context where we're at in the liturgical calendar right now, so we know that 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. So he appeared to his followers over 40 days. He ascended into heaven, and then 10 days later, they sent the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son. And so next Thursday is Ascension Thursday, and then 10 days later is Pentecost Sunday. Now, we celebrate Ascension Thursday this coming Sunday just because it's such an important feast day in our church. And they're finding, you know, a lot of people wouldn't go on Ascension Thursday, so they wanted more people to celebrate this feast day on Sunday. So Jesus and the Father wanted to send the Holy Spirit to continue God's work on this earth. If you think about it, go back to the beginning of time, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed from all eternity. You know, God spoke in Genesis and the world was created. Jesus is that Word made flesh. And so when Jesus took on human flesh, God came to, you know, live on this earth and in a physical form. And then, you know, he walked our walk, talked our talk, lived our life, died our death, rose to new life. again appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And then when he ascended, he said, I don't want to leave you alone. I will not leave you orphans, we heard in scripture yesterday. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, who's going to be with you, and will be with you until the end of the age. And so God wants us to know that he is walking this journey with us through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit among us.
And Father Burke, we see in the Mass readings, we've been following the Acts of the Apostles all throughout this Easter season, which has also been known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. We see what happened to the Apostles when they received the Holy Spirit, and they were able to understand Jesus' teachings, and also to have that fearless fervor to go out boldly and proclaim the Gospel.
Absolutely. And I think that's, for me, it's the biggest, the strongest evidence of the power of the resurrection is the change in these apostles. And when they received the Holy Spirit, they received those gifts, you know, especially the gift of fortitude and courage. There was the fruit, there were the fruits of the Holy Spirit, this joy, this goodness, this generosity. And they went out, you know, I always have people imagine, you know, for example, I have a funeral this morning, and imagine what would happen if somebody, you know, got up out of the casket at a funeral and started walking around. People would tell them about it. And that's what happened after the resurrection, you know, but it wasn't until they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, again, that very life of God, that they went out and boldly proclaimed the good news. And that's why the church always calls for this, you know, this renewal of our baptism, this new evangelization, and this new ardor and fervor of the Holy Spirit to go out and boldly proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, which is, there's such a need for the world to come to know Jesus.
Father Burke, can you briefly talk a little bit about how the Holy Spirit works within us, within our souls?
Sure. So the Holy Spirit is, you know, again, if we look at those gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom to be able to maybe see things from God's point of view, understanding this penetrating insight into the heart of things, giving us counsel and fortitude and piety and fear of the Lord. So I would pray that these gifts and fruits become manifest in our lives, so that we can be witnesses to the world. Again, if the Holy Spirit is just dormant, if I'm not focusing on my spiritual life, if I'm not praying, if I'm not reading scripture, not going to confession, not going to Mass, then you're not going to see these fruits coming alive and the gifts of the Holy Spirit being manifested. And so to pray, you know, and to ask very explicitly, Lord, may Holy Spirit come alive within me. May your gifts and fruits be evident in my life so that others may come to know you, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in and through me and my words.
Father Burke, I loved your chocolate milk analogy of the Holy Spirit. I have one more. I like to think of the Holy Spirit in terms of like sails on a small boat, you know, on a sailboat. And, you know, you can have your sails all the way down. You're not even using them. And you're sitting there trying to, you know, paddle with your own power. But if you just raise those sails, you can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and be able to guide that boat gently across the waters.
Amen. And power it is. You know, it's my life was completely changed when I surrendered my life to the Lord. And as you say, I was trying to do it all myself. I was trying to row and to paddle and to blow the sails all myself. And now, where I just try to surrender and say, you know, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is a dove. Another one is the wind. You know, the wind blows where it wills. And I would have never have imagined where my life would have gone, where it is now. If I tried to be in control, I'd be somewhere else. And I probably would not be experiencing those fruits that I'm experiencing now and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So just want to encourage our listeners to open up the sails and to surrender God loves you so much and he's got a great plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to places that maybe you never imagined, but it'll never be better than what God has in store for you.
And to tap into the Holy Spirit, you don't need to do a super long, complicated prayer. It can be something as simple as, come, Holy Spirit, come. Something that we do at the top of the hour, every show, to tap into that power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's one of my ongoing mantras throughout the day when I need an insight or need courage or need the right words. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And the Lord is so faithful.
Well, Father Burke, as always, a joy to be with you. Thanks so much for your teachings and your spiritual perspective, as always.
Thank you, John, for all you and Relevant Radio does, and congratulations on the pledge drive. God is good.
God is good all the time. Thanks so much. Father Burke Masters, the baseball priest and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break when we come back. Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching, will be with us to share his story of being saved from a porn addiction. So stay with us as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
More of Morning Air
after this.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. And again, in case you haven't been with us from the beginning of the show, once again, I want to say thank you for just an amazing Give Hope of Spring pledge drive last week. If you missed it, we did reach our goal of $3 million on Friday night. We literally did it at the buzzer as time was running out in the final minutes of the pledge drive. At the very end of the Drew Mariani show, right as the show had ended, literally we found out during the commercial break. We did it with your amazing support and no doubt through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary on that vigil of the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Here are the happy final numbers. 3,156,565 from 14,005 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. The average gift was $225. So, again, your support was unbelievable, and we are just so, so thankful. The words cannot express the gratitude that you are allowing us to bring hope. To bring hope to so many people across our country and to continue to bring our Lord Jesus Christ through Relevant Radio. For whatever reason, if you weren't around last week, if you're out of town, on vacation, out of the country, you can still make a tax-deductible donation for our pledge drive at 877-291-0123. You can also give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life, as we do every morning, is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation in anyone else or for any other name in the whole world given to men by which we are to be saved. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy that Drew Mariani prays every afternoon. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I want to just give you a heads up for the topic that we're about to talk about. It may not be appropriate, especially for young children and the little ones. So moms and dads, if you have any question about it, you might want to turn down your radio. As you know, we all lived through the COVID pandemic for 3+ years as the CDC finally said that it's officially over. But there is a real pandemic of our time, and it's called pornography. It's not something that we talk about on a regular basis here on Morning Air, but it really is. It's so available now that we need to talk about it. It's on devices. It affects just about everyone, not just men, but women as well. The question for us as Catholics, what is genuine human sexuality from God's perspective? Well, we're going to talk about it. Joining us live this morning from San Antonio, Texas, is Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching, to share his story of how he was saved from a porn addiction that actually led him to found a program that helps other men to free themselves from the attraction of pornography. Steve holds an MA in theology and specialization in catechetics from Franciscan University of Steubenville, as well as a MTS from the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Family Studies in Washington, D.C. Steve is a certified life coach and the author of Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Freed from the Pornified Culture. He's also an internationally known speaker. He's married and lives with his family in Texas. Good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you to talk about this very difficult issue.
Thank you so much, John. An honor to be with you, and congratulations on the pledge drive.
Oh, thanks so much. You're so kind. Our producer, Gabby, brought your story to our attention, and so we wanted to give you a platform to share some of it. I know you shared it recently in the spring 2023 edition of the Embodied magazine. Can you give us a few highlights of your story of when you were first exposed to porn and how you struggled with it for, many years, for, 12-plus years?
Sure. So in order to get to that story real quick, my father, when I was 5, tried to commit suicide. And he was in a nursing home growing up. So there's this dearth of intimacy, of masculine intimacy, of what does it mean to be a boy, what does it mean to be a man, growing in me. Fast forward to when I was 6th grade, I'm walking down the street, and there's this, I found a bag of torn up images that were hardcore pornography. It was right down the street, and actually a friend of mine, because I couldn't hold it to myself, I shared this with him. He said, I'll buy it for $20. So I became a porn peddler when I was 12 years of age. Fast forward to the next year, a friend of mine who his parents had videos in their bedroom began sharing with me. And as I'm watching this there's an excitement and enticement because I'm seeing men and women doing things I had never really seen ever happen. But there's also this ugliness, what I call the guilt, the shame, and self-hatred began to grow in me. And so this became a pattern of attachment. And so I'm living two lives, John. I have this attachment that's beginning to grow in me, but I'm also, my mom tried to do the best she could in the circumstances where we're in, and tried to raise me Catholic. And I'd go, I would see this stuff, feel guilty, go to confession throughout my high school years. But like that powerful, powerful drug that it is, it would draw me right back in.
How important was your Catholic faith to you at that time? I mean, were you really trying to live a Catholic life, or were you nominally Catholic during those years?
Good, great question. So I would say my mom in trying to raise me right, we would go to Mass on Sundays, but I don't remember ever really praying together as a family. We didn't pray the rosary as a family. These things weren't really a part of us. It wasn't until I would get into high school, both of my parents actually, within 18 months of each other, would pass away, both from cancer. And I had to learn, in the midst of this utter brokenness, I had to learn how to pray. You know, call it a grace of the grace of the Holy Spirit, call it the grace coming from receiving the sacrament of confirmation when I was in 8th grade. Things were beginning to open up there. But again, this is one of these issues, this issue of pornography. Anybody who's dealt with this or had this attachment in their life or see this amongst other people, this is not something that we can simply pray away, right? So there's a greater way to which we need to go and address this. So Certainly, I would say that God was in the midst of this, and as that relationship was growing, I also had this other relationship with pornography that was growing.
And you were even going to confession, but realizing that it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, no, I would say this, and I speak this in all love and humility to our brother priests who are trying to minister to the wounded, right? The sacrament of confession is a profound, profound gift given to the church for our own healing. But talking to a lot of people and a lot of priests over many years of doing this work in freedom coaching, the advice that is given is pray in Our Father and three Hail Marys. And if we know anything about and as good as grace is amazing, right? But grace builds on nature. And if we've been attached to this, right? And especially with all the chemicals that are stirred up in the brain, such as dopamine, norepinephrine, testosterone, with those things, right? If we're taking a pure reason versus pure emotion, emotion's going to win every time. And this is where we find and you said that absolutely correctly at the start of this, that this is a pandemic of pornography in which we find ourselves trapped in.
Steve, why do you think you kept finding yourself falling over and over again? Because this is obviously something that a lot of men can relate to. You know, they want to somehow get out of it, but they just can't.
Sure. So I would say it came down to three things for me. One was a lack of perceived intimacy, right? This belief that that no one really loves me, that no one really cares for me, no one really understands me. So having that the brokenness of my own family, of having that present in there, I would also say along those lines is a lack of true identity. I didn't realize, I didn't understand the fact and get that I'm a beloved son of God, that I'm truly loved by my Heavenly Father, and that's my true identity. And then in the midst of all that is that I was blind. The pornography blinds us. It keeps us from seeing the body as we're created to see it. And with this here, I actually started to blame women. I started to think if they weren't beautiful, then I wouldn't have a problem. If they wouldn't dress that way, then I wouldn't have a problem with this. But the problem primarily was my own fault. It was disorder of my own mind, my heart, and my vision.
And Steve, and we're joined this morning by Steve Pokorny, the founder of Freedom Coaching, sharing his story. What happened when you finally dropped the chains to the floor and became totally free of your addiction?
Sure. So one major point in my story was back in Franciscan University. This is back in 2003, in fact, where I'm hearing at one of these festival of praises, about 1,500 people praising God, Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I'm doing something new. Do not perceive it." And as I'm going, I had been going to daily mass, receiving the body, blood, soul, divinity, love liquefied of God incarnate, being filled up there, I'm moved to gratitude for what Christ is doing. Soon, I'm realizing it's not just Christ, it's the Father. And on one particular Wednesday, after receiving the Eucharist, I'm praying, the Father comes to meet me, and he makes it known very clearly, he wants to pull me up, hold me, and love me. And I heard for a very palpable voice in my heart, "You, Stephen, are my well-beloved son, in whom I'm well-pleased." And just as I'm moved and tears are coming down my face, it happened. Boom, 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 boom. These chains hit the floor, John. And instead of this desire to want to use my sisters, there's a desire to want to serve them, to love them, right? And that would remain here, right? That profound, profound healing would last about 4 months. But this is a chemical. This is a drug. And so we've got to go and treat it in a certain sense like a drug compulsion.
Well, Steve, would you agree that much like an alcoholic, it's an issue that needs to be dealt with spiritual means in addition to, you know, physical or chemical means?
Oh, no argument on that. No, if we need the grace of God more than anything. So there is Bishop Hugh Doyle, for just one example. He said that a man who you either will continue to pray the rosary and give up sin, or you'll give up the rosary. Right. So that would be one of the means, I would say, of grace there. Go to adoration where the naked Christ is exposed before us. Right. And whereas pornography is presenting naked bodies, but it's an empty person. Here we have the naked Christ that's exposed to us, and this is the fullness of personhood, the fullness of the God, of the Godhead, to begin to change our vision to see here. Receive the sacraments, very, very important, all those there, but there also has to be, on a very human level, genuine human interaction. So many of those who are involved in pornography use are lonely. We're cut off, right? If just like through the 3 years of the pandemic, we are told that we're not to have human interaction, that interaction with others is a problem. This is the message that is received via pornography, because it's a very individualized, it's a hidden sin that if anybody actually knew what I'm doing, they would utterly reject me. Whereas the truth is, John, we have to go and lean into our weakness, open it up appropriately in appropriate settings to share with others. And then those who actually know how to solve this problem get in there and begin with that genuine relationship. And that relationship, genuine human healthy relationships, is what really helps to begin to change us.
Want to open up our phone lines if you have a loved one, a relative, someone that has been dealing with this issue, that has an attachment to porn, or if you have any thoughts or any other questions about overcoming pornography. We're taking your calls for Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching, at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Steve. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side.
Hit a wall right now. I need a miracle.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverett. Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on this Monday morning. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching. He's sharing his powerful story of being saved from a porn addiction. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning, this is a sensitive topic. So if you have little children, little ones around, this may not be appropriate for children. You can always go back and listen to this entire segment on our Morning Air podcast. Again, if you have any questions about dealing with pornography, maybe you have a relative that is going through this and can't shake free of porn, has an attachment, or any other questions about how to overcome it, we're taking your calls for Steve Picorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching, at 888-914-9149. Steve, welcome back. Wanted to get your thoughts on what made you decide to publicly share your very personal struggle. This is not easy to do, to share this reality with the world.
Yeah, thanks so much, John. I like to call this the 572,000-pound elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, and we need to talk about it more. So for whatever reason, God chose me. I couldn't find it to be worse to do it. And it's something like Jeremiah, right? If I don't talk about it, I'll die. I'll feel like I'm going to explode. So I was deeply wounded by this, something that nearly killed me, but also knowing that God has done a mighty, mighty work in me. And so I'm called to proclaim this truth, that to, like Isaiah 61, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to bring sight to the blind. That's what God has called me to do, and that's what we do at Freedom Coaching. And it's a privilege to do this work every day.
Steve, can you briefly explain to us how the brain works? Even if our hearts are seeking the good and the beautiful, the brain, I mean, once you see these images, it's like they're tattooed into our brain and they just don't go away very easily.
Yeah, that's a big question. I'll try to do this as succinctly as I can. I refer people also, especially to read my book, Redeemed Vision, especially chapter 3. But in a nutshell, there are chemicals in the brain, dopamine, testosterone, norepinephrine, oxytocin, that are stirred up in the brain, especially during healthy marital intercourse and marital union. But it's the same chemicals but a very different result with the usage of pornography. Whereas the other, during healthy marital union, it brings us brings a connection, it brings closeness, it brings a union. The other ones actually fragment us. It actually keeps us from growing to become more of who we are. And one of the elements of the brain is called neuroplasticity. Big scientific word. It means if the brain, though, and this is a matter of hope here as well, if the brain has been formed in one way, and if we've gone down a pathway of brokenness, and we've been formed by these images, right? And as any, every parent hopefully knows this little jingle, right? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. This is why we have to be very careful with our children, what they see and what they watch. If we've been formed by wrong images, wrong audio signals, then what we can do through those healthy images, what happens is the brain begins to form it in a very different way. That's where that the health of the neuroplasticity is here. And that's where we see on a natural level, the grace of God of healing can be very operable.
What about going through the transformation? Can you talk about how it eventually led to you meeting your wife, Valerie? Were you ready? Was your heart and your mind ready for marriage?
Great question. So part of my studies is going to the John Paul II Institute for Marriage and Studies. But as any married man knows, you can study all you want, and then once you get into that lived relationship, just throw it out the window, right? Because every woman is unique and individual. So with my wife was dealing with a set of relationship issues about 6 months before we got together. I was still dealing with my stuff. With pornography and through a lot of the healing that further would come forth, God was like, this is the appropriate time to come together here. So that would be my word of caution, but also of hope to those who are single, right? If you find you have this attachment to pornography or some other serious issue, get help, get healing here. You do not want to bring this stuff into marriage. But yet, if we find ourselves in marriage, if we're finding that we are struggling with various things, then we need to go and seek out Jesus Christ in his healing and also perhaps professional help that can help us with these things.
Stephen, gratitude to the Lord. You founded Freedom Coaching. Briefly, tell us about it and how our listeners can find out more.
Sure. I encourage others to take a look at freedom-coaching.net, where we work with some of the most broken men and women to transform them through their transformation of mind from a broken experiences of sexuality so that they can reclaim their life and live out their life as a sincere gift of self.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you being with us and sharing your passion for helping men and women who may be suffering from this porn addiction. Again, you can go to freedom-coaching.net for much more. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, John. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Steve McCourtney, the founder of Freedom Coaching. And now, once again, it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Emmanuel's Butterfly by Matthew Engesser. There once was a little boy caterpillar who enjoyed playing sports, especially soccer. He had a little sister caterpillar who loved to paint pictures. The two caterpillars' favorite thing to do was to play together in the tall grass where they lived. They were very excited when they learned a new little caterpillar was going to be part of their lives, and they couldn't wait to welcome him into their family. The boy caterpillar thought about how he was going to teach him how to play soccer, and the girl caterpillar couldn't wait till they were able to paint beautiful pictures together. This new caterpillar was hidden in a cocoon, but that didn't stop the boy and girl caterpillars from talking to him every day. They waited anxiously and told him about all the fun that they were going to have together. One day they discovered the cocoon was empty and the new caterpillar was gone. They couldn't see him and were very sad. While they were crying, however, they heard a voice coming from up above, and they looked up to see a beautiful butterfly soaring overhead. The butterfly told them that he was their new caterpillar brother who they'd been talking to, but now he had wings, so he belonged in the sky and couldn't stay in the tall grass with them. The two caterpillars were happy for him, but sad they could no longer be together as they had been so looking forward to. The butterfly assured them that they'd be able to play together someday, but for now, the two needed to be there for each other. He'd always be flying in the sky above, watching over them, even if they couldn't see him. And best of all, they could still talk to him anytime they wanted. Exodus 23:20. See, I'm sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place I have prepared.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. I really do appreciate it. Remember, you can download any of Glenn's Story Corners or any of our Morning Air conversations, like the one that we just had with Steve Bicorni, the founder of Freedom Coaching. If you want to go back and listen to it again or share it with others, you can do it online at relevantradio.com or go to our Relevant Radio mobile app. Go to Shows On Demand, and then you can download our podcast. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Levers, producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Tuesday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.